sitting in for Bill Buckmaster here on the Bill Buckmaster Show today. A beautiful day here in Tucson. And, you know, just take a look around. I know some of you may not like the summers. I love them, even though I will tell you, Laura and I live right in the center of the city, and the monsoon for us has been a nonsoon so far, but a great time to get out and enjoy the desert. We've got a wonderful show here today. And we're hopefully going to start with talking about water and rain and some of those issues here with our environmental reporter, Mitch Tobin. Then we'll be transitioning to talk about books. And one of the things I love to do on a nice monsoon afternoon is sit down and curl up with a good book and read it. So we'll be talking about some of the recommendations for your things that you can read with one of our Aralee Sheelan, who's head of the English department at the University of Arizona. And then lastly, we'll wrap up the show talking with Judy Lowe, who is the interim CEO for the Tucson Association of Realtors. If you haven't noticed, there is just a heck of a lot of things going on the real estate front right now here in Tucson. Some good, some bad, I guess, depending on which side of the equation you stand on. If you're looking to sell your house, it's a pretty good time to do that. If you're looking to buy a property, maybe not so much. We're talking here again on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's source for trusted local news and talk. You're welcome to interact with the show. Give us a call on the Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management line. That phone number is 790-204-5520 if you happen to be hearing this show outside of Tucson. I tell you one thing I love about doing talk radio on my show, my weekend show, American Warrior Radio, we don't take calls because we're in multiple markets. So whenever I get a chance to interact with the listeners, it's just a real treat with me. So I hope you'll consider giving us a call, whether you want to talk about water or books or real estate. We've got it all covered here on the Buckmaster Show. Tom Fairbanks is engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. And if you've never been in radio, you don't know how important that is. I'm just the dancing chicken here, and Tom is really the guy that make things work here in the Green Things Socolow Village studio. Speaking of Socolow Village, Green Things, if you're looking to plant something now, you may not want to do it in July, but planning forward towards the fall, I encourage you to visit the Green Things Socolow Village studios. The Green Things is there on River Road, and just a great selection of both plants and fruit-bearing plants, whatever you might want for your house. And then, of course, they've got those great decorative items there in the Socolow Village Studios as well. Check that out. If you don't know, I'm from Mexico, and so I like seeing that kind of stuff. I like having it in our house, in our yard. Laura enjoy it quite a bit as well. If you've got something to share, feel free to give us a call right now. The lines are open, 790-2040. Again, this has been Bueller Garcia sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. We hope to have connect with Mitch Tobin and have him here on the air pretty soon. If there's other items you'd like to discuss or maybe suggestions for Bill, feel free to contact us directly, or all the podcasts are archived at buckmastershow.com, and just lots of interesting stuff you can find there. And I make it a regular visit myself when I'm looking to see what's going on in Tucson and get updated, and so I'd encourage you to do so as well. So again, Ben Bueller Garcia sitting in for Bill. If you have some thoughts, please let us know right here on 1030 Voice, Tucson's trusted source for local news and talk. And if it sounds like I'm going a little bit long, it's because we're trying to secure our guest right now, and we may or may not be able to pull that off. And, you know, Tom, maybe what we should do is let's see if we can connect with our second segment guest, see if she's available early and get her on. We can just go ahead and talk books. What is your favorite book? I tell you, my mother was an English teacher, so we were raised reading all the time. And in fact, we grew up in Mexico, so we didn't have television. Pretty much books were our only source of entertainment as kids growing up. And doing the American Warrior Radio very often, I insist if I've got a guest coming on who's written a book, I've got to read the book first. So I don't know, probably 3 to 5 books a month I've got to read to do the show prep. And I don't mean that in a bad way. The books are all enjoyable, but it seems like it's very rare that I get a chance to read just for fun. So if you've got some suggestions, please let me know and give us a call, 790-2040. Give us your suggestion on great books. And Tom, let's do this. Let's just go ahead and see if we can get our second segment guest up and running here, and we can just spend a little more time with her. Coming back to the books, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you what, Festival of Books, by the way, I'm a big lover of history, and if second only to visiting the great Library of Alexandria before it was burned up and destroyed. I got to tell you, the Tucson Festival of Books that takes place here in March is kind of my dream real life visit. And I encourage you to look at that. They're coming up March 2023 is the next festival there on the U of A campus. And it's always been just a wonderful place. If you're a bibliophile, I don't know if that's the right word or not. It's not my first language, but you definitely want to check out the Tucson Festival of Books when you get a chance. And don't forget, it's summer. Good time to get out and visit. I do regular briefings out at the base for new arrivals, and it's always just a joy to share with them. It's kind of funny, if you've been in Tucson any length of time whatsoever, you know that people think Tucson, July, not so bueno. But there's still lots of things to do and get out, and I like sharing that with them. Many of them, like our favorite, the zoo, the Desert Museum, a lot of those places adjust their hours, and they've got wonderful things to do during the nighttime when it's a little bit cooler. So good things for you and your family to get out and do. If you're not headed to Silver City, I tell you what, one of my favorites to visit in the summer as well is Karchner Caverns. They're on the way down to Sierra Vista. If you haven't seen that yet, it is just an amazing, it's a wet cavern. It's still a living cave there. And it's just a wonderful place to visit with you and your family. And of course, Mount Lemmon, a lot cooler up there. There's a relatively new hotel up there that gives you another option there at Summer Haven at the top of the mountain. Of course, always camping and fishing. And if you didn't know this, in the winter, Mount Lemmon has got the southernmost chairlift in North America. So literally one of the things I love about living in Tucson is, you know, come January, you can literally golf in shirt sleeves in the morning and then head up and hit the snow in the same afternoon. So I say grateful. We're really very blessed to live in a place like Tucson, in a community like Tucson. Again, Ben Buehler-Garcia sitting in for Bill today on the Buckmaster Show. If you'd like to interact, you can give us a call, 790-2040. It's our Rincon Ventures Property Management Live Line. And hopefully, Tom, how are we doing there? Tom can't talk because he's working behind the glass, getting us our next guest here on the air. And we're good to go. So, okay. All right. Well, up next on the Buckmaster Show, Aralee Sheehan, who heads the English department at the University of Arizona. Aralee, I'm glad you're able to come on a little bit early because I love books. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show.
Wonderful. It's great to be here. I always enjoy talking about books myself.
Now, you're an award-winning writer, and you've written four short story collections, including Demigods on Speedway, published by the University of Arizona Press. Your most recently written collection is titled Once Into the Night from the University of Alabama Press. I've got to get that. That sounds fascinating. You're also the author of two novels, and you're going to give us some summer reading suggestions. I tell you, before you came on the air early, I told you that my mother was an English teacher as well, and we were raised overseas, so all we had were books. We didn't have TV or any of that stuff. So definitely a subject near and dear to my heart.
Absolutely. I mean, even with all the amazing shows on TV and stuff these days, I just sometimes find myself just longing to read. And some of these summer afternoons really allow us we can't do anything outside in Tucson, so, you know, why not settle in on the couch with a great book?
I was telling the listeners, that's one of my favorite things to do during a monsoon, is to curl up with a book.
Yeah.
Not in front of the fireplace, of course, but curl up with a great book. What, based on your professional experience, what have you seen over the years, Aralee, as far as the impact that Kindles and audiobooks have had on people's reading habits? Have you got any insights on that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think when Kindle first came out, people were a little up in arms, and it was a great debate among many people that I knew whether the physical book was better and would prevail, or whether Kindles were kind of a danger to the book. And it seems that things have sort of evened out since then. Kindle reading is popular, but the hardcover and paperback books that you can hold in your hands have not lost their in popularity. And many of us, me included, will do both. I usually will prefer a regular old hardcover book or a paperback. But I'll use the Kindle sometimes, like when I'm traveling, or So I don't keep up my husband if I'm going to be reading it at night and he wants to sleep.
Well, I tell you, I'm kind of old-fashioned that way. I'm a very tactile person. I like to mm-hmm. hold it and feel it. And I tell you, maybe this goes back to my childhood days when we used to be able to order books in the classroom, and that joyous day when that box would show up and the teacher would cut it open and give out the books to everybody who purchased a book. And one of the first things I did, Arlie, is I like to just flip through the pages and take a big sniff. To me, there's nothing nothing like the smell of a good book. So this summer, I tell you, we've got to take a break here in a second, and then we'll come back. And Arlie, I'd like you to share with us what kind of book recommendations you have for Tucsonans when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ben sitting in for Bill Buckmaster here on The Buckmaster Show. Feel free to give us a call, 790-2040. We'll be right back.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ben Bueller Garcia sitting in today for Bill Buckmaster. Hey, don't forget, if you're looking for a getaway from the Tucson heat, please consider the 3-hour drive east of Tucson to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's going to be at least 10 degrees cooler than Tucson there. You can start your planning now by visiting southwestnewmexico.org for lots of great tips on recreational opportunities and places to stay there in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We're back talking with Arlie Sheehan. She is the head of the English department at the University of Arizona. And Arlie, you're going to share with us your best tips for summertime reading, books that folks should read here in Tucson during the monsoons. What are your top three that you'd recommend this summer?
Okay, well, the first one I'd like to talk about is called Matrix. It's by an author called Lauren Groff, G-R-O-F-F. She is well known for a book that came out a couple of years ago called Fates and Furies. Now, that book was a contemporary book, and it was about a marriage, And it half the book was told by the wife and half by the husband. And that was a kind of interesting tale. This one, Matrix, is set 1,000 years ago. It is set in an abbey. It's about a 17-year-old girl from France who was sent from the royal court to become a nun at this abbey in England. And, you know, it's obviously a historical novel, but what it is really is just this incredible plunge into the sensory world and I guess the spiritual world too of this young woman who kind of comes of age. She's not really particularly religious or anything when she is sort of sent to the nunnery. This was more of a punishment than anything. But she kind of takes on this role, and it's so fascinating. It just gives you a sense of that the era. It gives you an insight into what it might have been like to be in an abbey back in the day. And it's based on a real character, but okay. Who we don't know too much about, Marie de France, as they called her.
Sounds like a fascinating book. What else do you recommend?
There's an author. His name is Richard Powers. He won the Pulitzer Prize in 2018. He's just come out with a new book called Bewilderment. Bewilderment is set in the near future, so we've got one in the way past and one in the near future. And the main character is an astrobiologist who is always searching for new planets, and he's also making these kinds of hypothetical, what-if scenarios related to life on other planets. That's his job for his university. He has a son who's 9 years old and who's very challenged, has a lot of trouble in school and a lot of emotional sensitivity. And soon after, the wife of the astrophysicist and the mother dies, this guy embarks on a very interesting experiment, neurofeedback therapy. Now, I'm not much of a scientist at all, but what this is doing is it's a kind of mapping of the brain. So this kid is kind of relearning how to have emotional responses. It's kind of sci-fi in a way.
And, you know, I tell you, right there in a couple of minutes, Arlie, you basically covered why I love reading so much, because the span of time and the subjects and just two books, like you said, we go from 1,000 years ago to the future, and there's just an unlimited adventure that awaits anyone who goes out and tries to crack a book. We've got to move on to our next guest real quickly, Arlie. So I appreciate the shorter segment you spent with us, but great recommendations. And I'll hopefully you'll support me in encouraging folks. You know, you don't have to go to Amazon all the time. You can visit a local bookstore, or there's these things called libraries, and it's free, right?
Absolutely, and I 100% agree. Thank you so much for having me today.
All right, Arlie, thank you so much for spending time with the Buckmaster Show listeners. We're now going to convert to water. You know, if you've been in Arizona any length of time whatsoever, you've probably heard the quote that, you know, whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. Joining us now is Mitch Tobin. He's the Buckmaster Show contributor on the environment, calling us from Colorado. Mitch, welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Mitch, this is I'll use the quotation fingers, a dynamic time in our lives when we're talking about water. And some would even say, including me, that we're in a crisis. Do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is safe to say that the Colorado River is in crisis. And you can see that pretty clearly by looking at the levels of Lake Mead and Lake Powell, which are the two biggest reservoirs on the river and in the United States. And both of those reservoirs haven't been this low since they were filling up, Mead filling up in the Great Depression and Lake Powell filling up starting in the 60s. So it's clearly a pretty dire situation as far as the water supply. And just recently, the Bureau of Reclamation has ordered the basin states, the seven of them in that are part of the Colorado River Basin, to come up with a plan to slash their water use by millions of acre feet, which is quite a lot of water. And so they have a deadline to do that by August 15th. And the federal government is very determined to try to keep the levels of the lake lakes high enough that the water can pass through and can generate hydropower. And so that's why they're asking for these cuts.
Mitch, educate me a little bit. You can tell it's not my first language, even when I use made-up words. But so in Tucson, we wait for the monsoons because of the value that brings to our local water supply. But the Colorado, what is the source of most of that? Is it snowpack? Is it rain? Is it all the above?
Yes. So snowpack is the primary source of the water that is flowing in the Colorado River and its tributaries. So it is primarily a snowpack-driven river. Now, that's not to say that rain doesn't help to contribute to the flow, but really the key thing that we're looking at when it comes to the water supply of the Colorado River is the snowpack in places like Colorado and in the upper basin in the Rockies, which is, you know, the source of the river. So the status of that snowpack is something that's watched very closely. And certainly we've had a number of years where the snowpack has been low. We've also had years where the snowpack, like in this last year, was roughly average, but that is not translating into an average flow into the river because we've been dealing with this drought for 20 some odd years. Really not a drought, it's more like a aridification of the climate. And so the soil is so thirsty, the atmosphere is so thirsty that the water is not getting to the rivers and to the reservoirs, even if it does fall as snow, because basically the whole basin is warming up and that's increasing evaporation, drying out everything. And that's, you know, very clearly seen in the levels of Lake Mead and Lake Powell and other reservoirs on the river.
Hey, Mitch, we've got a call. Daniel called the Rincon Ventures live line here at 1030 The Voice. That number is 790-2040. Daniel, you've got a question. Please be brief. We're on sort of a short turnaround here. So what's your question or comment for Mitch?
The comment is this. I have a business up in Northern California. I can tell you that people up there are laughing at the fools in Utah, Arizona, and Colorado because they're getting all this water while they're dumping five or six rivers in Northern California right into the ocean when that fresh water could be going down into Southern California. And none of our people here on the radio or TV or politicians will say a word about it. What's the fear?
Thank you for calling, Daniel. Mitch, your response?
Well, it's a little bit different than the Colorado River because Northern California is not part of the Colorado River Basin. The idea is not to use up rivers so that there's no water left when they reach the sea, because clearly there's a whole ecosystem and whole economies that are dependent on rivers being able to make it to the ocean. And so we, in fact, have really messed that up on the Colorado River because the Colorado River does not actually make it to the ocean in most years, and it used to, and that's because we've dammed it and diverted it and are overusing it. And so certainly there are places that are wetter than the Colorado River Basin where water is able to make it to the ocean. But the idea is not to use up every drop before it does that. And that has serious consequences. And we've seen that on the Colorado River and elsewhere. And so every place is different in terms of the politics and the laws and the regulations and the river systems. So it's definitely a lot more water available in a place like Northern California because it's a wetter climate.
Mitch, we've only got a couple of minutes, and I've got two questions for you. I tell you, one thing I learned when I was lobbying is to use the most extreme example of a scenario to get people's attention. So two questions to wrap up. Like I said, we've got just a couple of minutes left. What is there a point where we basically have to say, okay, there's no more room, folks. Nobody else can move it in Tucson. We're just plain out of water. And then secondly, how feasible and how much of an impact could desalinization have?
Well, that is the sort of the perennial question about growth and water and whether the carrying capacity of a place like Tucson or Arizona or the Southwest has been met. You know, there are people who would argue that, no, there shouldn't be more and more people living in the region You know, however, it's worth noting that really the main water user on the Colorado River are agriculture and farms. It's, you know, almost 80% of the water is devoted to irrigating crops. And so, yes, people moving into the region creates more demand for the water, but at the same time, people have been doing a better job in recent decades of conserving water and using less water per capita. Now, you asked about desalination. It is already something that has been done in the United States and elsewhere in the world. The technology exists. The problem is that it's very, very expensive and very, very energy intensive. And so it's in many cases, it's more of a last resort. And the idea is to try to do things before that, like conserve our water supplies and be more efficient before we'd have to do that. There's also environmental consequences because they have to get rid of the super salty brine is left over. So it's something that we'll probably see more of, but it is by no means a silver bullet, and it is very hard to do in terms of both money and energy.
Mitch, thanks for joining us here on the Buckmaster Show. We'll have you back on again soon. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Buehler-Garcia sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. Feel free to give us a call. 790-2040 is the Rincon Ventures live line. When we come back, we'll be talking real estate with Judy Lowe. Again, Ben Buehler-Garcia sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
It's time for the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Inc., a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of more than $3.2 billion, with 195 company locates and expansions, supporting nearly 55,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ben sitting in for Bill. Now we're going to the Sun Corridor CEO interview series. We're very pleased to have our guest today joining us in studio, Judy Lowe. She is the interim CEO of the Tucson Association of Realtors and Multiple Listing Service of Southern Arizona. Judy served as a commissioner of the Arizona Department of Real Estate from 2009 until last fall. In fact, Judy, you may have been one of the longest serving leaders in Governor Ducey's administration. you're the past president and owner of Realty Executives of Southern Arizona and a former owner of the Coldwell Banker Success Realty in Arizona. And Judy, welcome to the Buckmaster Show. This is your first time?
It is my first time with Bill.
Well, wonderful, except you're not with Bill.
I know that, but you're just as good as Bill. Don't
tell
him that.
On Bill with Ben, yeah, and thanks to the Sun Corridor, Inc. for making this possible. Judy, this is a dynamic time in real estate, particularly here in Southern Arizona. As the interim CEO, you've got a lot of latitude, and the Tucson Association of Realtors is a very active organization, very powerful, if you will, organization here in Tucson. What can you share with our listeners as the CEO right now? What any plans? What's cooking at TAR right now?
Lots of plans.
Okay.
You do know that we're in a changing market. We have had a dynamite market during 2021. It hasn't changed dramatically, but it is slowing down. But as far as our realtors are concerned, the members of our Tucson Association of Realtors, and we have almost 7,000 realtors in Southern Arizona here. And what are we looking at doing? We're looking at doing just exactly what we have been doing for since I was a little girl growing up in Tucson, and that's many, many years.
Well, 1980 is not that long ago, Judy, so
Well, thank you very much. We're going to continue to advocate for affordable housing, for property rights, for home ownership, anything that will protect the real estate of our communities here in Southern Arizona.
Now, Judy, because to me, 7,000 realtors sounds like a whole bunch, but do you have a sense for a metropolitan area like ours, about approximately a million people? Is that about right, about average?
Average. You know, having been the commissioner, we had 92,000 real estate licensees in the state of Arizona. So the size of Tucson, about 7,000 is about average, a good number, and there's always enough owners and new buyers to represent, that we can do a good job in that representation and spend time with each of our clients.
What is driving, or I should say, what has been driving it here in Tucson? I mean, I don't think we're metropolitan. We're not experiencing a lot of internal grassroots growth of our population. Is it really the influx of all the folks trying to escape other states?
It is. California, Oregon, Washington, and we've always had that influx from the Midwest, you know, Illinois, Chicago area. But this is new movement into Tucson, and it is a tremendous amount of growth.
What my brother lives in the Bay Area, and he and his wife have a lovely house. It's, I don't know how many square feet, a little two-story house. And I don't know, Judy, it'd probably be, if you picked it up and plunked it down in Tucson, it'd be probably $400,000, but out there it's a $2.5 million house, and they could sell that and come out and get a mansion here in Tucson if they could find one. And that's one of the real challenges right now, right? The inventory is just so low.
That's right, Ben, and that's exactly who is coming to Arizona. And now, you know, they can come here, they can buy reinvest part of their sale proceeds and work remotely. So that allows them even to work in Arizona and work for a California company. So that feeds a lot of our growth, yes.
What are you seeing buyers out there? Because you're right, things have changed quite a bit now. A lot of folks aren't going back to the office. I noticed when we talk about commercial real estate in downtown Tucson, there's a lot of pods down there that look like they're not going to get filled again. Is that a marketing advantage to a potential buyer? You can say, look, here, I've got your high-speed internet. You got a great signal. You're good to go. And, oh, by the way, there's an EV charger in the garage.
It could be. However, from a real estate perspective, our members have always worked out in the field. They had a mm-hmm. base that they came back to, but they've always been out in the field. So it's not a big change for our membership.
Is there a product, if you will, right now that's hotter than others in Tucson?
As far as housing is concerned, probably an affordable house. with that shrinking inventory and then the prices going up because there are more buyers for each property, and now we have the headwind of changing interest rates. Our interest rates mm-hmm. are going up. So when you put all those factors together, that headwind becomes a little stronger on the buyer population. It's good for the sellers because, of course, their market values are going up. But the person that it hurts the hardest are the affordable, those who are first-time home buyers, for instance.
Hey, do you think a lot of those people right now, given what's going on, particularly the younger couples or someone looking to just get their start, would you advise them to maybe hold off or keep active, keep in the game, and if you find something, snap it up as soon as you can?
I would say stay active. Watch everything that comes on the market. Work with a good, strong realtor that knows the area that a buyer wants to move to. And let's remember that there is a difference between a real estate licensee, that was that 92,000 that I talked about, and realtors. You can get a license in Arizona to sell real estate when you have 90 hours of real estate education and pass an exam. Then you join the Realtor Association, where you abide by the ethics, you use standard forms, you protect your client in everything you do, you research the neighborhood. That's what a realtor is. Not every real estate licensee can call themselves a realtor. And yet we as the public many times call anybody that has a real estate license a realtor, and that isn't the case.
That's an important distinction. I know, Judy, when I bought my first and, well, the only home I bought ever, I mean, I'm a young guy. I'm pretty naive, and I did fortunately use a realtor.
I
wanted an older home. I wanted a historic home. And I'll never forget, I had this one picked out by the U of A, and I was, this is it. I fell in love with this home. This is it. So my realtor's like, okay, you know, pump the brakes a little bit. He went and sniffed around, looked a little bit in the basement. He came up, and he took me out on the front porch away from the ears of the seller's realtor and said, if you buy this place, I will kill you. Because he had seen some things, some improvements that he'd made that I would have never caught. And boy, I dodged about a $40,000 bullet in repairs there. So thank goodness for a realtor. So if folks are thinking of getting into this, do you recommend they come to Tucson Association of Realtors right off the bat and kind of pick and choose? Or how do they find a good realtor?
By interviewing many realtors.
Okay.
And even if you're not a homeowner right now, but you have a relationship that you trust with a realtor, use that realtor. Stick with that realtor and let them know exactly what you want. They'll make sure that you can afford whatever is exactly what you want. And work with them from the beginning to the end. And then call them up when you're ready to sell your property and move up to another property.
We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Buehler-Garcia sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. We're talking with Judy Lowe, the interim CEO of the Tucson Association of Realtors, here on the Sun Corridor, Inc. CEO interview series. We'll be back with more from Judy. Feel free, if you have some questions or comments, feel free to give us a call on the Rincon Ventures property management line. That number is 790-2040.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at NobleHops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back to the Bill Buckmaster Show, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ben Bueller Garcia sitting in for Bill today here in the KVOI studios, Tucson's trusted local news and talk. I stand corrected. It's the Green Thing Sokol Village studios this hour, Judy. So keep me on my toes. Make sure you keep me corrected. We're back doing our CEO interview series presented by Sun Quarter. Our guest is former Arizona Department of Real Estate Commissioner and now the interim CEO of the Tucson Association of Realtors, Judy Lowe. You know, Judy, before the break, you talked about, you know, checking in with you if you're ready to sell. Our home, I think I paid $80,000 for it in 1994. And I just saw, you know, you get these like appraisals online, the Zillow, whatever, and I don't know how accurate they are, but, you know, they're saying, hey, your home's worth $400,000. So my wife's like, hey, you know, she wants a place where we can have some horses and burros and geese. So she's like, oh, yeah, let's sell the house and you know, reap the rewards. I'm like, great, but where are we going to buy something, you know, unless I want to move to, I don't know, Springerville. Likely not something that's going to happen right now. So it's a interesting situation that homeowners in Tucson find themselves in.
It is, especially since our median sales price, Ben, that means half sold below and half sold above, $385,000.
Oh, so maybe that estimate is pretty accurate.
I would guess it is. And maybe you ought to think about moving to the country.
well, but then I don't get to do the Buckmaster Show anymore, Judy. So
oh,
I wanna,
you could drive in.
You speaking of people, you've had some staff changes there at Tucson Association Realtors, including one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, right?
And who is that?
Sean Cody.
Of course, he just joined us last week. In fact, he's in Chicago at the National Association of Realtors Government Affairs Director meetings, learning about the realtor. organization. Remember, he came from the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association, and there's not much difference. We're all in the housing business. We're all in the real estate business. We are partners here in Southern Arizona.
What if people don't understand that? Because that's, you know, in my day job, I'm a lobbyist, and folks may not understand the importance of that role to industries as a whole. And as you mentioned, Sean came from Saba and is now working with the Tucson Association of Realtors. When you talk about advocacy for industry, your industry, what does that mean? What does that translate to for the unexperienced out there as far as governmental affairs?
Well, for the public, it means that there's someone who is representing them around property rights, home ownership, their investments, what protects them, fair and affordable housing, making sure that those making the decisions downtown or on a state level are looking at it from a home ownership, from a real estate perspective, and remembering to protect those homeowners, whether it be in taxes or water or paving the streets or whatever affects both the homeowner and their property value.
I saw a study once, Judy, that was, in this case, it was talking about multifamily housing, but I would assume there are some parallels with single-family housing. Just the huge chunk that government regulations and rules add to the cost of building a home. And that's, I would right. say, in apartments, it's more almost 40% or a little bit higher. And that the more, you know, some people may say it's only a dollar here, $800 there, but it all adds up, and pretty soon you're pricing people again out of the product that they would love to buy.
That's right. Everything that is added to the home building cost is passed along to the buyer. And many times that individual is a first-time home buyer. Mm-hmm. They really didn't need to have an electric car outlet out in front or some of the other government requirements in home building. And I think that that's one of the things that we must look at from an industry perspective, but also from a public perspective. And that is, number one, freeing up the guidelines around home building, not opening the door too wide, but freeing up the guidelines and moving that process along within our government agencies. I come from a government agency, remember, the real estate department. So breaking down some of those barriers to the building of new affordable homes.
And I tell you, I like to make a distinction, Judy, because there is one when we talk about this. And I will say there is no question that we've got a crisis in Tucson right now. And we're not, unfortunately, not unique around the country right now. But there is housing affordability, and then there's affordable housing. And I think there's a difference in that discussion that the leaders in our community need to make sure they understand and embrace, because the more, I mean, obviously we want the health and safety sorts of things. That's absolutely very important. But right now I know there's people both at the city and the county looking at, okay, what can we do to streamline the process? What can we do with maybe zoning rules or other, because we've got to get more inventory built here in Tucson. There's no room at the inn right now.
Streamlining and speeding up the process and remembering that affordable housing encompasses everything. Workforce housing encompasses that first-time home buyer, that first-time move-up buyer. And workforce housing is what we're really shy of in Tucson.
You know, I was just in a conversation literally yesterday, and I know the builders that I talked to, the price of building materials, lumber and concrete and all the asphalt, all these things are just skyrocketing because of the supply chain issues in the pandemic. But then I heard something yesterday that absolutely terrified me, Judy, and that was, we're having trouble getting transformers. And you can build the most beautiful home in the world, but if you can't get electricity to it, yikes.
That's
so
right.
So what's TAR going to do about that?
I wish I had a solution.
Well, but it just speaks to the importance of advocacy. What is I know people, I guess people that have been doing real estate for a while, they love it, or else they wouldn't keep doing it. But for a young person out there that's maybe looking to make a move, Judy, is this a career you'd recommend, and what sort of personality traits makes a good realtor, or you'd talk to them and say, nah, maybe find a different line of work?
Well, in interviewing brand new licensees, that is one of the first questions. What brought you into this industry? And then you, as the interviewer, you listen very closely and make a decision whether this individual has really learned the education, that this individual really understands what we owe to the public when we assume the role of representing them in one of the biggest investments that they may be making in their life. So it has a lot to do with personal values in the realtor. It has a lot to do with staying power, because you may not have a sale for your mm-hmm. first 6 to 8 months, so you have to have that staying power. It takes a lot of mental acumen to learn to take that 90 hours of real estate education and pass the exam, and then take additional education when you come to the Realtor Association. And it's all focused on protecting the consumer in their real estate transaction.
Which is admirable.
Very.
Yeah.
It is our charge in this environment.
So really, are a lot of these realtors, to put it in civilian terms, if I may, are many of them kind of the equivalent of self-employed sole proprietors?
The majority of them are self-employed. Mm-hmm. That means that they do not earn anything until the closing. I call it the miracle of the closing. They take that buyer out, show them 340 homes, write an offer, write 5 offers, finally get one that's accepted, and they have to pull the strings during the escrow period mm-hmm. to create the miracle of the closing.
When I tell you, having done it, being self-employed myself for gosh, 30 years now, it's nice being your own CEO, but it's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody.
I'll tell you that.
That's right.
What else can we look for? Collaboration is so important in the world's largest small town of Tucson. Anything you can share with our listeners that TAR's got coming up real quick?
Well, number one, our connection to the community, realizing that we're not just realtors, but we have a charitable organization within our membership that contributes to all of the other nonprofits, or a small community givers, I call them. And also to remember the power of real estate in Southern Arizona. If we come collectively together as a real estate community for the good of Southern Arizona, we have home builders, escrow, title, lenders, contractors, building.
Appraisers.
All of the furniture sales, all of those things, the landscapers that come in and do that. The contribution that we make to the economy of Southern Arizona is phenomenal.
Well, and that's why it's appropriate you're here on the Sun Corridor Incorporated CEO interview
that's
series, because
right.
You're right. It's not just a big industry, but that's huge employment here in Tucson, a lot of positive economic impact in addition to protecting home buyers out there.
That's right.
Judy, thank you so much for appearing on Buckmaster. Hopefully you'll come back and join us again sometime soon.
I will, and thank you, Ben, for having me.
That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. This has been Ben Buehler-Garcia, and today for Bill Buckmaster. Thanks for joining us. We hope you stick around after the CBS Network News for a Ramsey Show. Have a wonderful afternoon. Don't forget, you can find all these podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Take care.